The reading is from Acts 2, verses 37 to 47. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. The believers form a community. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Elaine. Good morning. It's good to see you and good to be together. What a lot of all and everything in that reading. I do love verse 39. This promise is for you, your children, and those far away, all who've been called by the Lord our God. That extends a very long way. Here, today, Cumbria, 2017, we're going to think a little about the year ahead and beyond and the opportunities we have with God for the community all around us. Let's pray. God, our Father, thank you that in Christ you have come to make yourself known, to save and deliver us, to call us to yourself as sons and daughters, and to send us to the world with good news to share. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have you ever had that thought about the return of Jesus and how unafraid it would make you to know that it was in 3 weeks' time? And how you just go and you talk to that person and the next person and the next person with no hesitation. Shelley and I literally had that conversation, I think about a week and a half ago. But it stirs the imagination, doesn't it? You suddenly think, well, but it would look so different. I'd certainly cancel some things and stop thinking about some things and seek the kingdom first and urgently. Would you do the same? Some of you? I think you know what I mean. And of course, our discipleship, it looks so different in that light. Now, I know on the other hand, that as useful as that is, there is this reality check, which is, we might lob into this thought, because my life doesn't have a three-week horizon, and I don't know the time and the day, and I'm committed to the care of my wife and children, for example, and our life together, to the stewardship here and now of a lot of things that have a, I ought to expect longer than 3 weeks in terms of legacy and how I'm to give myself. So I know that in one sense, it's an unrealistic way to think. But on the other hand, it makes me realize how easily I hesitate, how easily I procrastinate, how easy it is to defer my mission and the opportunities I'm given in view of my responsibilities or the discomfort it might feel to step out and perhaps be thought strange in sharing the faith that I have with all those around me. So, this year, 2017, well, this isn't brand new for this year, but I wonder, could we have the first slide on my projection as it comes? There is a banner for our county, and it's the diocese, but of course it's partner churches, Methodist, URC, Salvation Army, and the banner is God for All. And the tagline is an ambitious one, that the church in this region should give itself to making Jesus known and to giving everybody, literally everybody in our region, the opportunity to encounter God in Christ, to discover and know more, and to know God's purpose for their lives, and to become a follower of Jesus as part of a Christian community. The diocese, and it's been around for some time as the strategy for outreach, there we are, has said, well, let's just do it all. Let's try and reach everybody with this good news. Let's set ourselves this target. Let's do it. But my question, never mind the return of Jesus in 3 weeks, is what will it look like? What will this change to not just hear this, be inspired by this, be relieved at some quite ambitious mission talk in leadership and all around us, but actually doing this, everybody around us and all of us involved, that's going to give a different shape to my life, to our lives, I would think. What will it look like? And this gives us some priorities, some possibly slightly changed priorities, or actually not that changed, but some emphasis that we're to give as we commit ourselves to one another and to going about this together. So the image I thought of for this as I was praying was Russian dolls. So that, you know the sort of Russian dolls I mean? And it makes me think of John le Carré novels published in the 80s. At least one of them did have a cover with Russian dolls, rather like this one. So the next slide is the image that I felt was ours, and I hope it's useful. If not, ignore it. Don't even look at the screen. It's quite a theme for our weekend. We watched Bridge of Spies, actually, on Friday night, Shelley and I. Real Cold War thriller. Have you seen that? It's very good. Anyway, between that and John le Carré, you know something new about me and what I like to do. Pot boilers. There's a twin vision. Two visions, as it were, that fit together. And they need to shape one another or have a similar shape. Like these Russian dolls here. They have a particular shape in order to fit together. The first, if you like, the first, the doll inside that you can see there, is a vision of discipleship. It's an emphasis on growing people and not looking to big programs or big church as a measure of success. Don't get me wrong, it would be great if there were double us, double our numbers, and then double again in terms of just attending meetings. That would be glorious. But our emphasis is not big church, but big people. It's about equipping and encouraging one another to go in Jesus' name, called into our potential and into God's account of who we are and what we carry in Christ for his world. Now, big people might not be a phrase that attracts you. You might think, goodness me, it sounds like big heads and puffed up people. What do you mean? Can't you think of something better? Well, I think it's a helpful contrast between big church and big people. If we have big people, there's impact. If I think of big people, the best example I can think of is, well, Jesus. That's the kind of big we mean. Knowing exactly who he was and where he'd come from in John 13, he took off his outer garment and he washed the feet of his disciples. It's not about being puffed up, bigger and better. It's about being fully in Christ and who we are in our identity in him. And so our job in our life together is about equipping and encouraging one another with this in mind. And that was very much the theme as we looked at Jesus in his baptism and the implications for us last week. The second vision that fits together with this is a vision of church. Church as a missionary movement, not gathered in and sheltering from the world. And we might pick that sort of language up even from Peter's comment about a crooked generation, this sense of gathering in and sheltered and huddling, but actually a vision of church as a movement of people sent out to the corners, the highways, to connect, to rescue, to serve, to love, to transform with the grace and power that comes from heaven, from the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name, this mindset gets us ready to look out at the world, out for opportunities, to look out for partnership with sister churches, to invest and to do whatever it takes to take this promise to all who are far off, this gift of salvation. And these two visions, the vision of discipleship and this vision of a church that is sent, they fit together. So, discipleship. Briefly, looking at our reading. We have a good number of disciples in our reading, certainly present at the scene of Peter's sermon. We catch the end of that, and a good number of disciples or believers described in the account in the second part of our reading from verse 42 of the early life of the church as they began to shape a pattern of life together that came out of their experience of Jesus Christ. But I want to focus on one disciple in our reading for illustration's sake, and that disciple is Peter. And some of you will be quite well acquainted with Peter. And if you're not sure you are, well, just start at one of the Gospels and read and discover more about this man, Peter. Flawed and beautifully imperfect, famously a denier of Jesus on three occasions. But here we see what discipleship looks like and what we mean by discipleship and big people, not perfect or pious or holier than thou. But in the first case, I'm going to pull up three things about him. He is saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. And as a result of that great gift, and even the first invitation he had from Jesus to follow him and to start to give his life to pursuing Jesus, he has been an admirer, a lover of Jesus. In Peter, we see discipleship defined really by a decision made for Christ. The yes that was certainly enacted as he left the shore and began to follow Jesus. The answer he gave in Matthew 16 when Jesus said, well, there are lots of accounts of who I am, but as for you, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he got his new name, the Rock, Peter, instead of Simon. We know that this decision is one that he was committed to, even as Jesus drew him to a painful place, the risen Jesus on the beach, walking along with him, going to that place of denial, that sense of failure that Peter had. Do you really love me, as you boasted, more than these? And Peter replies, in anguish, but in humility as well, you know that I love you. Jesus as Savior, as Messiah, as friend, as leader, is in Peter's life, in his heart. And so Peter is able to give this Peter, to commend this Peter to those around him. This crowd of people on the street at Pentecost, the next account we have of him at the beautiful gate at the temple in the afternoon, going to prayer. What I have, Peter says, I'll give to you. And what he has is this, it's his salvation, his love of Jesus. Secondly, Peter, a mark of discipleship is simply to be Spirit-filled. Every disciple is promised fullness of the Holy Spirit. And he is Spirit-filled here. And we see him on this occasion as we have never seen him before, doing something that, well, I don't know what he would think if he could ever have done it, or what his friends thought looking on. What's he doing? Have you ever had that? I don't know if some of you have got grown-up children who've sent you their bungee jumping videos or something. What are they doing? I've never seen them do this. But we see an impossibility in Peter's life in terms of background, training, expectation. But here he is, preaching to a street filled with people, empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak of who this Jesus is. And there is such power on the simple account as he describes Jesus that as we open our reading, his simple words have cut to the very heart of his listeners. And they're crying out, well, what can we do? What can we do? Don't say that we've missed this. There must be something for us. This is the fruit of the simple fact that Peter, like all the other disciples who were a mixed bag, even at the ascension of Jesus Christ, some of them were unsure and didn't believe, but they have received the power that was promised from heaven. The Holy Spirit has come, filled them, clothed them with power. And now he is someone, whatever his background may have been, whatever his failures and character traits, his words and his actions have extraordinary power in the world for Jesus. He is Spirit-filled. He is saved. He knows Jesus. He is Spirit-filled. And the third thing is that he, on this occasion, and we see it again and again, is stepping out. Stepping out, answering an opportunity. Are these people drunk? No, let me tell you what this is. It's what the prophet Joel prophesied. He's taking a risk. This, I think, might be the most challenging bit. I can believe I'm saved and know I'm saved. I can believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and even experience the Holy Spirit. But the challenge is the stepping out, perhaps, that Peter is doing here. Stepping out and giving people their opportunity to connect with this God and know him for themselves, because the promise is for them. This ongoing willingness, and that's all it is, to step out. Discipleship is not a badge. It's not an attainment or a qualification. It's an ongoing willingness to give ourselves to God, to be a fool, to love another, to lay down self, a lifelong call that never stops, never loses momentum. The only plateau is the one that I settle for. So Peter, as we see him here, it's just a snapshot on the way, is discovering his potential as a disciple. And what is yours and what is mine? And don't you want to find out the potential of the person next to you and cheer them on? Which means someone's thinking that about you right now as well. And can we help one another, go on helping one another into this potential? Make it a safe thing to take a risk. Celebrate the risk. There's the success and the willingness. So there we have a picture of big people and of discipleship. Second picture, a picture of the church. What about the picture of the church that we have here? Some of it is familiar, and also very challenging, as we see the hallmarks and the headlines, their fellowship and commitment to one another, their joy and generosity. It's not surprising. It's wonderful. And we, every time I read this, I don't know about you, really take on the challenge of this as well. But there is something that we could become that the church should never be, even taking very seriously the marks of the fellowship of the first church here. We could become and remain quite inward focused. We could be separate in the wrong way. And there is something, that's not an accusation at you, by the way. It's just it's a danger, I think, of church at large and our activity. But we could also notice here something that I think is the key hallmark as these disciples did life together. Something that was happening as what Jesus promised to build began to take shape. This church has an extraordinary momentum, an extraordinary influence in the world and upon the community around it. And we hear, now here's a verse for 2017. The Lord each day added to their fellowship those who were being saved. What a statement of attraction, of impact, of the quality and the effect of their life amongst friends, neighbors, the community that they found themselves in. This was a group driven, fueled by apostolic teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And signs and wonders were part of the apostles' ministry among them as it shaped their life and their discipleship. What is apostolic teaching? Well, the apostles, in the first instance, were those who had been with Jesus and were witness to the resurrected Jesus. And it seems to be marked by their account of Jesus, which is Peter's sermon to this crowd, and also the manifest power of the Holy Spirit that was evident in confirming their message. And so it was in a community influenced by that apostolic teaching, the reality of Jesus and his authority, the grace that is given by him and the power of the Holy Spirit. It meant that the disciplines of that community, of fellowship, of prayer, of worship, of joy and generosity, they carried that good news, they carried that power to all. And there was this extraordinary influence that they had in the world. What might look like a sealed or a separated group finding its own way of doing things, safe in their homes and in their beautiful and newly formed habits and community, it was not an end in itself. That would be the greatest danger of the church, that our disciplines of life together are just an end in themselves. And we make ourselves a club. It was, in fact, influencing and shaping the world around them, transforming whatever it touched. And so we see these remarkable hallmarks, not just of joy and generosity, of fellowship and prayer and breaking bread and good teaching, but of growth, remarkable growth. 3,000 people at Pentecost, the daily growth of the church as the Lord added to their number. Growth is normal. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? Healthy things grow, and we don't need to expect anything less. I find that very encouraging at the start of a year. And when you look at something proposed for us, like God for All, the church, back to our shape, our Russian dolls, the church was not a gathering in by God of disciples who learned to conform, nor even a haven for sinners to be saved, but a movement, a sending out by God of the saved, of these disciples to change the world. It's an apostolic shape. The word apostle was not a church word. In the Roman Empire, it was a political office, a diplomatic, or an influence. Apostles were sent to make Rome in outlying settlements, places where they might retire Roman soldiers, for example, or have an outpost of the empire Because not everyone could go back to Rome, but the expectation was that Rome should find its expression in Philippi or somewhere else. And if the emperor did ever show up, would find himself home from home or Rome from Rome. There you go. And I think that's what the apostolic was about. Changing the culture of a place to look like that from which the apostle was sent. The church is apostolic. It's not just about bishops and generations and the laying on of hands. It is that as well, the power of the Holy Spirit. But it is a people sent to the world to transform it, to bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And so, God for all. Shall we have our last slide? Get away from my Russian dolls. You've seen them now. God for all says to us, look. There is a world of people who haven't heard the name, seen the face, or experienced the saving grace and goodness of God in Jesus. So many people. And this reminds us that there is a shape to discipleship as we answer the call of Jesus Christ for ourselves and encourage one another in our response, discovering who we are, our potential in Christ, like flawed Peter. And just stepping out and taking those risks for him. It reminds us that there is a shape given to the church by the gospel that takes us to the world with hope and in love, with power and with a gospel that saves. And these two fit together like our two dolls. And this year and next and beyond, we are seeking momentum as we pursue this. There will be prayer opportunities, local houses of prayer. Look out for the flyer. It's probably about a week away. Preparing the ground for God's transformation. A week of prayer the archbishops call us to again, post-Pentecost. There will be a school of mission. We're going to block out all that is church in May and in June and together. There'll be a raft of different activities that will encourage us, refresh us, help us to consider what our opportunities are and encourage one another. I'm really excited about that. Watch this space. There'll be alpha courses, different shapes and sizes, partnerships with other churches across Kendal, and taking us forward to spring in 2018 when we're a focus in the northern province of York for mission, and a whole lot of bishops and probably media attention will arrive for mission events then. But the point is not mission as events. The point is mission as a movement with momentum as we are answering the call to take Jesus to all the people. The promise is for all of you who are far off. And so, at the start of this year, I suppose our covenant is to say to God, yes, we will allow you to shape us, sons and daughters, to grow us as disciples, and to shape us, your church, as a people sent into the world in the name of Jesus. Can I pray for us all? Let's pray. As we consider our own discipleship and our desire to give ourselves to the benefit of one another, we declare that we will champion and encourage each other. God, help us to do that. And help us to take risks. Help us to run to you and to your presence for the gifts that you want to give us, and the courage and the joy and the freedom to give them away. And shape our life as a church, an apostolic people, not just gathered, we're so grateful to gather, but also sent to transform the world in small things and with great love, with extraordinary good news from you. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we ask, even today, would you send your Holy Spirit upon us? Clothe us with power from heaven, and make us your witnesses. Amen.